plus 49.
Bienvenidos to another episode of Plus 49. My name is Ingrid Arteaga, and we're so glad you're back with us. This week, we will be at the I Am Expat Fair. We hope you can come by and say hello. We've got a full plate this week, starting with the news. Not one, but two new leaders just stepped into the spotlight. A new pope and Germany's new chancellor, Friedrich Merz. Fittingly, we're diving into a little political storytelling about the history of German chancellors. Then we switch gears from politicals to pasta with our guest Georgi. He's the founder of Taste It, the anti-dating app that connects people over food. Think real-life meetups, hidden restaurant gems, and connections based on taste, not relationship status. So let's get into it. Let's get into this week's news, and we begin at the very top, because Friedrich Merz has officially been elected Chancellor of Germany on his second attempt. After narrowly failing to secure enough votes in last week's first round, the CDU leader received the required majority in the follow-up vote, winning 325 out of 621 parliamentary votes. His CDU-SCDU-SPD coalition holds 328 seats, making the initial shortfall with 18 members voting against him. This is a surprising setback and a historic first one in post-war German politics. Following his election, Merz accepted the appointment and was officially sworn in at the Bundestag. Merz then received his formal certificate of appointment from the federal president Frank-Walter Steinmeier at Schloss Bellevue. The day ended with a swearing-in of new ministers and then the first official cabinet meeting. Meanwhile, the world also welcomed a new religious leader. After the traditional Habemus Papam was announced from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, American Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost was introduced as the new pope. He's taken the papal name of Leo, greeted the world with the words, "Peace be with you all." The Chicago-born cleric, who has also a Peruvian citizenship, worked as a missionary in Peru and used his first name to urge peace, dialogue, and bridge building, adding, "Evil will not prevail." Back in Germany, believe it or not, Berlin has made into the top 20th happiest cities in the world, at least according to the latest Happy City Index for 2025. The index, published by the UK-based Institute for Quality of Life, ranked 200 international cities using 82 different indicators, from healthcare and housing to mental health services and civic engagement. While Munich has been named the 9th happiest city in the world by the Happy Index City, thanks to high salaries, quality healthcare, and digital services, Berlin also landed in the 16th place. Yes, you heard that right. 16th happiest city in the world. The index gave kudos to the capital's digital services and well-developed public transport system. I know a couple of people may have other opinions, me included, but it's actually a very well-developed public transport system. And finally, some good news for Berliners frustrated by bureaucracy. On May the 14th, 9 Bürgerämter will offer appointment-free services for ID cards, passports, and e-IDs. Anmeldung, however, will not be available without an appointment. The action day will take place across most Berlin districts through not Reinickendorf, Lichtenberg, or Pankow. As always, you still need to go to the Bürgeramt responsible for your home address. With Friedrich Merz now officially sworn in as Germany's new chancellor, let's take a quick step back and look at what the job actually involves and share a few fun facts along the way. The chancellor or Bundeskanzler is Germany's head of government and holds the most powerful office in the country, while the federal president, currently Frank-Walter Steinmeier, serves mainly as a ceremonial role. The chancellor calls the political shots, setting government policies, appointing ministers, and representing the executive branch at home and abroad. Metz is the 10th person to serve as chancellor since 1949, following in the footsteps of some true political giants. The first chancellor of the Federal Republic was Konrad Adenauer, who led the government for 14 years. His time in office saw both historic achievements and deep political divides. Towards the end of his tenure, his popularity flattered, particularly after the construction of the Berlin Wall in 1961. Still, he managed to remain in office despite internal opposition and only agreed to step down after the Spiegel Affaire in 1962. But perhaps the most globally recognized figure to hold this office is Angela Merkel, the first and so far only female chancellor. A trained physicist from East Germany, Merkel served for an astonishing amount of 16 years, from 2005 to 2021, making her the longest-serving chancellor in German history. And while Merz just made history by failing to win the chancellor vote on his first attempt, he's not the only one to face a close call. Adenauer himself scrapped through 1949 with exactly the 202 votes needed, likely including his own. And both Helmut Schmidt and Helmut Kohl only secure their majorities by one single vote. So what does the chancellor actually do? According to the Article 65 of the German Constitution, the chancellor sets the broad political direction, while each minister runs their own department independently. This is called Ressortprinzip. The chancellor also picks a vice chancellor, this time as Lars Klingelbeil, and holds command authority over the military in the state of defense. On top of that, the chancellor must answer to parliament and can even lose their job if they no longer have majority support. And here's a little bonus fact. Have you ever heard of the Berliner Waschmaschine? That's the nickname for the Bundeskanzleramt, the German chancellery here in Berlin. It is a boxy-shaped and round window, and the building really does resemble a giant front-loading washing machine. At 36 meters high and 8 times the size of the White House, it is the largest government headquarters in the world. Our guest today is Georgie from Georgia. I love that. Hello, Georgie.
Hello. How are you?
Everything is perfect, and I'm more than excited to talk to you because you have one of my favorite topics, food. So let's start with food. What do you do with food?
Okay, first of all, thank you for inviting, and thank you for your good energy because you are matching with sun outside and it's beautiful. Actually, I'm so hungry. I did not eat today, and I'm going to run after this conversation. And it's kind of good because I will get more hungry and food will be more amazing. So what we do with food? Of course, for me, food is a joy and part of my life. But also, I connected food to my startup because I'm doing food social network, like social network for food lovers. But also, we are saying it's kind of the anti-dating app powered by food.
I love the anti-dating app. That sounds so sexy, especially in Berlin.
Yeah, actually, this new messaging came live. Actually, you are the first one who I'm telling, like, because it's not live yet. I was just brainstorming and I was like, this idea came up because we are indeed anti-dating app because we are connecting people through food, through love of food. So how it works, like I will explain briefly. So it's a social network for food lovers and people on one hand discovering like food, like real food from real restaurants, following each dish and then also matching with each other. So if you follow same dish, like we have two modes, food mode and dine mode. In food mode, you swipe dishes from real restaurants. Oh, you remember? Amazing.
And I'm already watching Mimosa Day, Mimosa Monday in Benedict Berlin. So I'm very excited about the Mimosa Monday. But I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. No. I was just seeing the Mimosa Monday and I was like, yes, let's do that.
That was happiest like a picture for me, the founder, because now you have my application in your mobile phone. So that's amazing. So, for instance, if you like Mimosa now in our application, you see green bar at the top. It's a follow, how many people are following that Mimosa. If you like this dish, when you go to your like dishes, you see other people who follow same dish. And you can check their profiles, invite them, start conversation, or just go alone or share this with your friends. But in dine mode, and I encourage that, you can create your own events. If you go to dine mode, if you click plus, you can create an event. You can say, okay, today's a Friday, I want to drink something. You can choose with who, gender. You can choose who is going to pay. I pay, you pay, we split. You can choose day, like today, for instance. And people, and when you create this event, it will be created on your location, and people will see your dine event, and they will send you dine requests. Or you can just send dine requests to other people.
So you're not that German. I'm sorry. I'm watching the food right now. I downloaded the app. Can do it in basically every app store. And it's Tasted Connecting Food Mates. And I love the part that we can connect and we can already talk who's going to be paying.
Exactly. Because, yeah, it's like removes this awkward moment.
We're not getting into awkward moments. We're just getting started. So we're going to go into a quick music break. And when we get back, we will probably have already a profile on who is inviting me to my next truffle pasta. Georgie from Tasted, Connecting Food Mates. I think Berlin has so many things and so many tastes and so many things to explore that we get ourselves very frustrated sometimes because we don't know where to go, what to do. And with your app, you can actually see the plates, the food plates.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you arrive to Berlin and decided you wanted to do an app about food?
When I start my pitching, I always tell this story, because when you move new city, and in my case, I moved to Berlin and I found myself kind of lonely because I was new. I didn't have any friends. I didn't know anyone. So I was like, only option was like a dating apps. And in that time, it was not my goal to meet someone on a dating pretext. And I was struggling to meet new people, but it was like in my head, in background. And I was studying here, and I started working for like a creative agency, and I was working for Burger King creative campaign. I'm art director by profession, and my job was like to have creative ideas, and I was just brainstorming. And while I was brainstorming, I matched two words, food and dating. It was my technique of brainstorming, matching two random words. And suddenly, in a second, this idea was born. I was like, oh my God, food, dating. And this app came, and after 15 minutes, I saw advertising of Shark Tank, this famous TV show, was happening first time in Georgia, in my country. After 15 minutes, I applied for Shark Tank with this idea. It was so raw. Even I did not had like complete idea, but I knew like I had some contours. I applied, they invited me to the show. I fly to Georgia, and the night before of the show, I had only 9 pages of PDF, and I built a prototype the night before, like some images of the app. And I just went to the TV show, and I knew that I cannot live without investment. And I did it. I got my first funding, and we started this journey. And first we launched in Georgia, in my country, because Georgia is a food country. And also my goal is like to create first Georgian unicorn global-wise. And yeah, Georgia is a food country, so it's like it gives me more motivation. And then we launched to Berlin, and also we launched in New York like 2 months ago. And now we are growing. We have 45,000 monthly active users, which is, in Georgia, it's super popular. In Berlin, it's probably like around like 8,000 users in Berlin, because we launched a few months ago. But right now, our main target is Berlin. Soon, we are going to launch a new campaign in Berlin, and it will bring us like more people.
So, of course, my next question is going to be, where can I have or where can I find the best Georgian food?
Okay, this is a topic I can talk forever, because Georgian food is like amazing, like really amazing. It's like a taste from my childhood, but and hopefully Berlin is super good with Georgian food. Somehow, actually, it's a trend. every month new Georgian restaurant is opening in Berlin. Like every day when I'm checking, there's a new Georgian restaurant. Because with Germans, and not only with Germans, with like people in Berlin, it's becoming really popular. But you know what is my favorite thing? When I invite my friends first time to Georgian restaurant, sometimes I go there. And when we order, they start eating and I just watch them. I don't eat. And I enjoy this moment because their faces are changing. They are so, so happy because they love taste. And it makes me happy. And yeah, that's why we are also saying why we started. We are changing how people meet over food. And we are using food as a medium to connect people. And how first human beings met each other, it was they started hunting and eating together. So in mankind history, it was always super normal to eat together. And that's why my top three probably Georgian restaurants are, first one are at Tbilisi in Prenzlauer Berg. It's probably best one and most authentic. Also people who work there are Georgians, environment are super Georgian. It really brings me my childhood taste. Second one probably it's newly opened in Friedrichshain called Hinkali House, because I am crazy in love with Hinkali, a Georgian dumpling. And probably third one is Blau Fox in German, in Charlottenburg, which is also super good and authentic.
We're talking with a Georgie from Georgia, who has been giving us the best examples of why food is so important and why his app is probably going to end the loneliness feeling we have in Germany.
Exactly. In Germany and then globally. Do you feel lonely sometimes?
I think it's part of what you described at the beginning, arriving in Germany and being for the first time all by yourself. And I don't know how it is in the Georgian culture, but at least in the Mexican and Latin America, it is very bad to be eating alone. It's kind of a shame thing. You never eat alone. And one of the things that I got over myself was eating alone and enjoying the food, not just sitting and going very fast so nobody could see me. And then just now I sit down, I take my coffee and I enjoy it. And of course, it's better if you have a friend or maybe not a friend who's inviting as well.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a big thing.
What are the next steps? I mean, you're already launching in Berlin. We want to end the loneliness feeling in Berlin first, one bite at a time. And then what would you for Tasted?
Before I answer that question, I want to comment what you just said, about, first of all, it's amazing. We have same culture in Latin America. Actually, because I did not research yet Latin America countries as a market opportunity for Tasted. And I'm super happy that I'm hearing that from you, that you have in your culture that eating with people is more fun and it's part of the culture. Because usually when we choose a new market, also cultural characteristics are super important for us. Because, for instance, our next market, to continue answering your question, would be Spain. Because in Spain, they have this tradition which called sobremasa. And sobremasa, it's if you translate sobremasa, it's kind of Tasted idea. People are going and enjoying not only eating, talking while eating, conversation. And they are staying for hours and talking and drinking, eating. And Tasted is all about that. That's why we call it anti-dating app, because we want to break all stereotypes. First of all, toxicity of dating apps, because everyone, all my friends in Berlin, in Tbilisi or in New York, does not matter. Everyone are complaining about dating apps, how toxic it is. You start swiping, you match with someone, then no one answers, or they answer and you never met, but you met and then someone has open relationship. It's really toxic. People are really tired of it, and we want to act as a healing of that. We want to remove that awkward moment of dating. We want to break stereotypes of age stereotype, orientation stereotype, gender stereotype, because usually on dating or networking apps, you meet same age people, but sometimes it's super nice to meet older people. I always say this example. My mom went on a dinner with a young boy like I was also like motivating her, but she got so many requests, and I was like, it was an experiment for me, like, mom, please go, like, have a dinner conversation. And it's super important because society gave us these rules that we are meeting just like same age or like just for dating. Okay, sometimes in a bar we talk people from different age category or like, I don't know, like just usually with people we don't engage as a like everyday life. And it seems nice. And I really want to break these stereotypes because we are human beings and we learn from each other. And that's why it's also our, like, with loneliness, also like to break all these stereotypes and give people this platform. And I think food is perfect for us.
It's definitely perfect. And we see that you're so passionate about this. I hope that at some point we're going to be able to start doing the YouTube channel, because if you could see how Georgie is talking about this, you would definitely would just run and download the app. That's why we're telling you, run, download the app.
Thank you for that comment, first of all, because really I believe in what I'm doing crazy. Like, I cannot explain. Now when I'm talking about this, I'm like super happy.
You got me at the part of Hunger Games. So you have to explain now what a Hunger Game is.
Okay. So, because I mentioned dine modes. Now in dine modes, only people are creating events. Soon we are launching our own food experiences, different type of food events. It can be dating direction, it can be food masterclasses. But first event will be Hunger Games. It's for people who are hungry for connection and who are hungry for food. So it will be hosted in Georgian restaurant. And it will be public event. Yeah, you can find this event in our application. I will let you know when it will be launched, in like 2 weeks maximum. And it will be like a space for the people to network, drink, eat, and have a stress-free anti-dating environment. Of course, we are not telling anyone, don't like anyone in a romantic way. You can, you have this freedom. But we remove that responsibility from your shoulder. Just enjoy. Because you know, like this one moment, when you're going on a date, sometimes when I'm going on a date, I'm not acting myself. I'm like, even without like planning it, I'm trying to be cool or something. Like, and sometimes I hate myself. I was like, Georgie, who was that guy on a date? I don't know him. And taste it removes that moment. Like, that's why please join our Hunger Games soon. And yeah, probably we will meet Zia.
That sounds like a great time. We will definitely want to go there. So you want to stay in Berlin and then eventually go to Spain, but is there any other city in Germany that you would like to go?
Yeah, first one will be like before Spain, actually. We are going to grow in Germany. First city outer Berlin will be Hamburg, and outer Hamburg will be Munich.
That's great, because we also have some listeners from Hamburg, and we have seen how difficult it is in Hamburg to get to know people and events.
Yeah, and Hamburg is one of my favorite city in Germany. Berlin is my top one favorite, but outer Berlin, like, I love Hamburg. It's such a beautiful city.
Marlene, our producer, is here with us, always listening, and she lives at the end of Germany. What is your favorite German food, Marlene?
I think it's changing all the time, and I think my favorite, it's not actually German. I wanted to say schnitzel, but it's not actually German. But we claimed this as our food, even though it isn't from Germany. And
that's okay.
I will still say it, schnitzel, or typical Bayerisch food, because now I'm in Bavaria, so I think I have to say this. Anything from like, or no, Kartoffelsalat from my grandma. Schwäbischer Kartoffelsalat.
I love that also, actually, Kartoffelsalat.
Because it's part of all cultures. I think also in German, even we don't see it that much, but in families, it's also all about putting the table down, putting all the decorations and everything, and then sitting down and having a conversation. And maybe in the big cities, you don't really see that. But as far as I know, Marlene's family does it.
And what's your favorite food?
my favorite food, and
Mexican.
Yes, of course, it's Mexican. Mexican is also one of the gastronomy life. I'm gonna make a small advertising here because those are the best tacos I have had in Germany ever since I arrived here, and it's Mama Rosa's. Yeah, the bistec tacos are just superb, and also, of course, if you pair it with a good margarita, it's great. Yes, it is in Berlin. It's in Kreuzberg and in Meringdam. We're going to go there. We're going to have some tacos with lime, and Marlene is going to come at some point.
Okay, we have a dine date.
We have a dine date. You see?
Deal.
That's how easy it goes, not only on air, but also online. Once again, Georgie from Georgia, who's a Shark Tank winner, who's now living in Germany and wants to conquer the world by food.
I promise I'm going to do it.
Georgie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Plus 49, ask a German.
In Georgia, like, it's a fun story. Actually, when I was studying, all my classmates thought I was like super rich. Because in my culture, especially with a girl, I was like paying everything. I was like, no, I'm going to pay. And sometimes I was like asking my mom, can you send me money? And I was like, it was like so weird, like for me. But yeah, now I, especially on a date, like in Georgia, it's like if now it's changing. But when I was like younger, I'm 32. When I had my first date, you should pay for a girl all the time. Now I agree, like it's like normal, but still, why do they split the bill? This is my question.
If you've ever been on a date in Germany and found yourself fumbling awkwardly with your wallet while your date tells the server "getrennt bitte," you're not alone, and you're also getting an authentic taste of local culture. In Germany, splitting the bill isn't seen as rude or unromantic. Quite the opposite, actually. It reflects a broader culture norm rooted in equality and independence. While some may interpret this as the death of chivalry, many Germans would say it's actually a sign of mutual respect. The idea is that both people are equal partners. Then why shouldn't they share the financial load right from the start? On dates, and I would say especially on first dates, it's common for each person to pay for their own food and drinks. In fact, if someone insists on paying for you, it might come across as overly forward or even a bit controlling. Traditional gender roles just don't carry the same weight, especially among younger generations. Equality, both emotional and financial, is seen as the foundation for a healthy relationship. When the server arrives with the bill, they typically ask zusammen or getrennt, which means if you'll pay together or separate. If it's getrennt, each person tells the server what they had, and the server calculates the individual amounts on the spot. Everyone pays and tips separately, often in cash, although card terminals are increasingly common now. That said, it's not a hard and fast rule. Especially if you're just grabbing a coffee or drink, it's still fairly common for one person, often a guy, to offer to pay. Still, first dates in Germany tend to be low-key, practical affairs, and a whole other topic on their own. But whether you're splitting the bill or treating someone to a cappuccino, the key takeaway is this. In Germany, fairness and independence are often more attractive than grand romantic gestures.
That's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. Thank you so much to Georgie from Taste It for joining us and sharing how food might just be the best way to connect these days. Thank you also to Marlene. We hope today's mix of politics, pasta, and pop-up events gave you something to chew on. And remember, if you want to meet us in person, we'll be at the I Am Expat Fair on May the 17th at the Estrel Hotel. Come by and say hi and grab some goodies while you're at it. We'll be back next week with more expat stories, local legends, and everything in between. Until then, take care, stay curious, and enjoy the sunshine while it lasts. Hasta la próxima.